Today on Maine Calling, what makes Maine so special to snowmobilers? For many people in Maine, it is time to take down the Christmas tree and tune up the snowmobile. If you haven't already, those December snowstorms whetted the whistle of sledding enthusiasts who are hopeful for a good snow-filled season. And there are a lot of you, tens of thousands in fact, out there. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will discuss all aspects of snowmobiling in Maine. Why is Maine such a big destination for sledders? What's its economic impact on the state? How to learn if you've never tried? Where to find a good trail system near you? And what is the etiquette for considerate and safe riding? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by contributing listeners and support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering healthcare, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. For anyone interested in snowmobiling, Maine is the place to be. Trails that just keep going, good snow, and of course, beautiful scenery. We're going to learn how this sport propels Maine's winter economy and where and how to ride. Joining me for the hour, Carol Ann Ouellette, who is director of the Maine Office of Tourism, and we also expect someone from the Maine Snowmobile Association to be joining us as well. We invite you to join the conversation. Are you a snowmobiling enthusiast? Curious about trying? Do you have anything you want to share with others who are hitting the trails this season? Or do you just have a good story to tell? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Carol Ann, welcome back to Maine Calling.
Thank you, Jennifer. Really excited to be here to talk about snowmobiling.
Well, you know, you're the director of the Maine Office of Tourism, but you also are a sledder yourself. And where do you sled?
Well, so I am a snowmobiler. I am very fortunate to live in Jackman, so I'm lucky to be able to go right out my back door. But I do snowmobile all across the state. I think, you know, that's the joy of the ITS system, the Interconnected Trail System, is just you can keep going from one place to the next and really get to visit lots of different communities and spend time exploring the state on snowmobile.
Well, let's talk about it, the ICS, the Interconnected Trail System. How vast is this? Does this really mean that if there is snow on the ground, you can pretty much go anywhere in Maine on your snowmobile?
It's quite extensive. I mean, the ITS itself is about 14,000 miles, and then a lot of the local communities.
Did you say 14,000 miles?
I did, yes.
Wow, okay, yeah. Keep going.
No, so, you know, and many of the local communities, the snowmobile clubs maintain local trails as well, but the interconnected trail system is, you know, I think the important thing to note here is that it's an incredible relationship with our large private landowners and many small private landowners across the state, because the snowmobile clubs develop relationships with those landowners and the folks in those communities to gain permission each year to put those whole systems together, right? So we're very fortunate to have that relationship with the landowners across the state of Maine, and you know, really encourage folks to make sure when they're out on the trails to respect the fact that they're in many instances crossing private land.
Is that the thing that sets Maine apart? I mean, if somebody goes to New Hampshire or Vermont or maybe to the Midwest, do they have the same kind of interconnected system that Maine does, or is Maine pretty special that way?
Many do, but Maine is very special in the expanse and the number of miles that are part of our system. I think considering the size of the state and that relationship with all those landowners and the communities and really very active snowmobile clubs across the state of Maine is the reason that, the snowmobiling here to me is top notch. It's second to none really in the Northeast because of that, those many relationships and that expanse.
Well, let's talk about let's do some numbers here. Give us some numbers. How many people have a registered snowmobile license in Maine? How many of those folks are Mainers? How many come from away to skate is to sled here? And just overall, what's the estimate of how much snowmobiling contributes to the Maine economy?
So I can give you the information about the contributions to the Maine economy. I unfortunately don't have the information on the snowmobile registrations for residents and non-residents. Inland Fisheries and Wildlife has that information. I'm going to see if I can look it up. But for overall contributions to the economy, the University of Maine, Jessica Leahy and team update this study each year. So for the 2022-23 season, that was estimated to be about $710 million in overall economic contribution. So really substantial. I mean, this is for rural communities across the state of Maine. This is kind of a way of life in the winter and really important to the local businesses in each of those communities. And it's just a great way for people to come together and enjoy time in the outdoors.
All right, well, we already have a caller. We're going to go to George calling from Bethel. Hi, George, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, well, I wanted to I just was listening and understood that you were discussing snowmobiles, and I wanted to make an announcement that probably a lot of people in Maine do not know, but anybody that's snowmobiled in Maine has been to Jackman, the capital of snowmobiling, and they have obviously had dealings with Jackman Power Sports and the stalwart and the patriarch of snowmobiling in Maine, Dave Jones, has passed away suddenly several days ago, 75 years old. And it's just a tragic, tragic thing for snowmobiling and winter sports in Maine. And his memorial is on Saturday at the Border Riders. And it's a terrible tragedy. Everybody, it's just a shock.
I'm sorry to hear that, George. Tell us about Dave Jones. What made him so special?
Well, Dave Jones is from Gardner. He moved to Jackman in early 80s, maybe, and he set up a variety store. He bought Jackman Hardware, and then he established Jackman Power Sports, and they dealers and of snowmobiles and ATVs, the chainsaws. It just I can't say enough about Jackman Power Sports and Dave Jones. A wonderful guy, advocate of sports. He was Chamber of Commerce for years, almost like a father of sports and advocate of recreation in Maine. And just a wonderful guy, and it's just an extraordinary loss for the town of Jackman and for anybody that's into recreation, whether it's snowmobiling or ATVs. He was the man.
Carol Ann, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, George, thank you so much for bringing this, for saying something about Dave. I couldn't agree with you more. It's a huge loss for all of us, just in the local community, but also broadly across the state. As you note, as an advocate for snowmobiling and ATVing and motorsports and outdoor recreation in general, he contributed just endlessly of time and his just anything you can think of to the sport, and the person from whom I bought all my snowmobiles. So a huge loss. Thank you for remembering him.
Well, Jackman seems to be the theme today. So far, George, you live in Bethel, but you have a camp in Jackman. Other than Dave, what is so special about Jackman in terms of snowmobiling? I mean, you said it's the snowmobiling capital of Maine. I suspect some folks up in the county would disagree, but tell us why you say that.
Well, from a little kid, I was always told that Jackman was the Switzerland of Maine. And, you know, the county's nice. It's flat. Jackman has some topography. And obviously, my family's been, my great-grandfather discovered, my Philadelphia great-grandfather discovered Jackman at the turn of the last century. And so we've all been going there. And I've been associated with, I'm a Jiffy Lube, and a guy wants to know what I'm doing. Can I just finish this call? I just need my oil changed.
Yeah, we got like 45 minutes to an hour.
That's all right. Thank you. Sorry about that. Jackman is just, it's a beautiful terrain. I can't say enough about it. I've been going to Jackman since I've been 6 years old.
Oh, boy. Well, why don't I just ask each of you, and I'll start with you, Carol Ann Ouellette, if people are listening and thinking, you know, I've never tried snowmobiling, it kind of looks fun, but it also looks kind of noisy, and maybe it's expensive. What is the magic? Why are people who are enthusiastic about it just so smitten?
That's a really great question, Jennifer. I think it just has to do with sense of community. You know, it really brings people together. It's relatively, it's an easy sport to start enjoying, particularly when you're talking about places like Northern Outdoors, New England Outdoor Center, places in the county where you can rent a snowmobile as part of your winter experience, lodging with some of those folks, and they can completely outfit you and all the gear that you need and give you, you know, the short videos on sort of the introduction to snowmobiling. There's a lot of guides that do snowmobile guided snowmobile trips, but it's, you know, something where everyone can enjoy it, from the young people to, it's multi-generational in many senses. You watch families all go out across the trail systems and gather in town to warm up and grab a bite to eat or do a little shopping. So I think that's a lot of it. It's very much a family and community sport.
All right. George, what would you say? What makes it special for you?
Well, it's nostalgic for me because I've been going to Jackman for over 50 years. So there's a family tradition. Just the drive up Route 201 along the Kennebec. I remember driving up 201 when they were still logging, and it was full of logs. You couldn't even see any water right up to the Bingham Dam. I've got friends in town. I'm not from Jackman, but I feel that I've sort of somewhat ingrained in the town because of all the time that I've spent there and all the people that I know. And it's a good, solid community. It's beautiful. It's just the mountains, the rivers, the ponds. It's absolutely gorgeous. Maine is an incredible, beautiful state. We got the seacoast, we got Thoreau's, Maine woods, the rocky coast of Maine. It's just an extraordinary state. It's a great place to live. And Jackman is a real jewel up there. You got a few miles from the Canadian border. It's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you got wildlife, and the people are solid. They are just really good, solid folks. So Dave's son Travis is going to be taking over Jackman Power Sports. They're going to still be alive and well. I mean, it's a tragic thing that happened with Dave, but Jackman Power Sports is going to carry on. Travis is going to take the torch and snowmobiling and four-wheeling, fishing and hunting. It's all Jackman is a center for all of that.
Well, George, thanks so much for calling in, and good luck with your oil change. And thanks for sharing the the sad news about Dave Jones, but also your memories of snowmobiling in Maine. Carol, one thing George mentioned is that the border is right there, and I'm going to date myself here, but years ago I covered a news story in which there was a snowmobile club that went back and forth across the border to Quebec, and I remember there being a really really charming lodge that was only accessible by snowmobile and a big fire in the middle of the room, a big fireplace. Can that still be done in today's world? This world that's so focused on border security, can people still cross the border and go to Quebec and come back, or on the other side, go to New Brunswick?
Yeah, they can still cross the border, and you go through customs just like you would in your car. You drive up and on your snowmobile and stop and do everything that you need to do that way. And a number of people do that both directions. You know, we've over the years seen Canadians come down through and then folks visiting Maine or Maine residents going up into Quebec and into New Brunswick. So that's fun. The clubhouse, as you mentioned, all those clubhouses, I think that's another part of snowmobiling that's so unique, is the snowmobile clubs themselves and the clubhouses and how they welcome people who were on snowmobile from all over. And, you know, again, very much that community feel. But those clubhouses are gathering spots for those communities even outside of snowmobiling season. So I think that's what helps build that love for the sport. And those are also the places where, you know, that they're the heart of snowmobiling in the sense of trail maintenance, because it's all those snowmobile clubs and the volunteers that are part of those clubs that are really out there keeping those trails signed and are out there grooming all hours of the night. I know Matt Stedman has talked about this from Maine Snowmobile Association, but, you know, Maine Snowmobile Association is sort of the large umbrella, and then all the different clubs are members of Maine Snowmobile Association along with other businesses. But those clubhouses are key. They're great.
Well, I'd love to hear from somebody who's a member of a snowmobile club or a past member. Call us and tell us about your club. Tell us about what you do to keep snowmobile trails safe and fun. Give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Send us a brief email, talk@mainpublic.org. When we get back, Carol Ann, I'm going to ask you about staying warm on a sled. I'm going to ask you about safety and etiquette. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're talking about snowmobiling on Maine Calling today. It's a way of life in Maine for many people. My guest today, Carol Ann Ouellette, who is director of the Maine Office of Tourism. You can send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Daryl, who's calling from Farmington. Hi, Daryl. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the snowmobile clubs that really keep these trails up, and the fact that it takes a lot of volunteer work, and sometimes it comes down to just a few people in each community to do that. So it's important to join a club, even if you can't volunteer, to keep the trails clean. They're anywhere from $15 to maybe $40 for a family membership. And this helps with the groomers and the equipment that club volunteers have to use to kind of keep these trails up. It's a lot of work, but the benefit to the communities, it's immense. I love to go up to Jackman, where your guest is from, and go from there. But also we go up to the county. We snowmobile into remote ice fishing locations using ITS trails and other club trails to get there. And it really takes the doldrums out of the winter. What it does is it gives you something to do to connect with family and friends. But my main point is to take some time to join a club. I usually join two or three, sometimes four clubs a year. I feel it's a great investment in my money. Working full time, so I can't volunteer as much as I'd like, but that's my way of kind of helping support the clubs that make this all work.
Well, Daryl, thanks so much for calling. And somebody might think that joining a club is kind of an exclusive thing, but it makes you make it sound like everyone's welcome.
Oh, it is. And, you know, I'm going to mention a place up in New Portland. It's called Cafe Relis. And this guy, Bill Caffarelli, has just built this warming hut where it's a destination off ITS 84 in North New Portland. People come together. They do, food service and music, and people hang around at the bonfire. So they'll stop in and you just kind of warm up for a little while, talk to people, and you'll see people there from Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, all around, the local folks. And it's really a camaraderie thing. But when you get out on the trails and you find these high vistas where you just see for miles and there's nobody else around, it's really very rewarding if you're an outdoors oriented individual. So there's all these things come together, and you know, it's a passion of mine to be able to go snowmobiling, but I appreciate Maine and then all the volunteers that make it happen.
Daryl, thank you so much for calling in from Farmington. Carol Ann, Daryl talked about the work that goes on to keep the trails open. I can guess at what needs to be done, things like people out there with chainsaws taking felled trees that have crossed trails. What else does maintaining the trail system entail?
Yeah, Daryl brings up such a good point. The clubs are so integral to making this all work. Trail work starts sometimes in the summer, you know, depending upon, again, access, but, you know, making sure that they're brushed and that they're signed. So you're going through on volunteer teams, repairing bridges, just working through the sections of trails that are the responsibility of each club, and clubs vary as to how many miles that they care for. But so once you start getting into the season, again, it's the grooming. So many clubs are grooming almost daily. It depends upon the activity level on the trail systems themselves. But you're out at night generally trying to get that grooming work done. So often overnight in the cold and dark on your own. And then, you know, you're still sending teams out to make sure that the signage is still where it needs to be and that it's accurate, and, you know, that the everything is in place so that the ride is safe for folks that are crossing through all those trails. So it is a lot of work, and it's almost all volunteer, to Daryl's point.
What do you need to snowmobile? I mean, do you need to take equivalent of driver's ed and pass some sort of test?
You don't actually, but there are, it's recommended that if you've never snowmobiled before, watch the safety videos. So most manufacturers have videos. Inland Fisheries and Wildlife does some coursework that you can join in. And I think that's really important. Again, we mentioned guides. If you haven't been before, it's good to go on a guided ride. If you're renting a snowmobile, you are required to watch the videos to understand how to operate the equipment safely. You know, I think all that's really important. And there's a lot of kind of trail etiquette pieces that go to that, Jennifer, you know, staying on the right side of the trail and following, you know, keeping your speed safe and keeping your distance between sleds. It's kind of like driving, you know, same kind of common sense things, keeping your distance between sleds. If you're meeting oncoming snowmobiles on a trail, if you're in a group, you often give hand signals as to how many people are behind you. So they understand that there's more sleds in your group. So as they're passing, you slow down. So yeah, there's lots of good kind of trail etiquette pieces that are important. And you learn those from folks if you're snowmobiling with folks who've done it a long time, or just watching the videos and getting a good sense of how to operate safely.
Okay, well, we keep using the word safely, and every season, unfortunately, there are news reports of people killed on snowmobiles. There was one just this past weekend, if I remember correctly, a 17-year-old girl, and I'm wondering what kind of safety tips you will give me. I've been a reporter a long time, Carol Ann, and it seems to me that most of the snowmobile accidents that are terrible involve either speed or alcohol, or going through thin ice. Would you say that that's accurate?
I believe so. Again, that's where Inland Fisheries and Wildlife monitors all that so carefully. But yes, those seem to be the three biggies, Jennifer.
And do you feel as though you've snowmobiled your whole life? Do you feel as though the culture around, for example, drinking and sledding has changed, or not really?
Oh, I definitely think it's changed. I think, certainly as the machinery's become more sophisticated, it's even more important to be diligent about how you ride and how you stay safe. It's you're on a motorized piece of equipment, and just like when you're operating a car, all those principles are very similar, if not the same. And understanding that they can go quickly, but your speed should be in line with the conditions and the terrain that you're traveling at that point in time. And certainly, any motorized vehicle and alcohol is never a good mix. I think, and the thin ice thing, ice is tricky. And I know Inland Fisheries and Wildlife often puts up reports on different places that are safe and that aren't safe. So that's a really good resource is to make sure that you're checking those. And often locally you can ask as well. But certainly ice crossings are always ones you want to be very careful doing. And in some instances, a trail will cross ice and it will be very carefully marked. So you want to stick to those marked areas as well.
We are talking about snowmobiling on Maine Calling. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. Carolyn, I understand there's an app. There's an app for everything. Tell us about the snowmobiling, the most amazing snowmobiling app in Maine.
So it's great to know that there is an app, and I think it's a fairly recent launch of the Maine Snowmobile Association app. But what a great way to find conditions, to understand, to find new places to go. If you're thinking about, I know we've talked a lot about Jackman, but I mean, there are so many places to visit on snowmobile in Maine. So, I think about going over to Rangeley, and George mentioned Bethel, certainly Bethel, and up into the county. I mean, the county is just sort of endless riding as well, but into Millinocket and Greenville and all the way across the Down East Sunrise Trail. So I think the app's just a great way to figure out where to go, but also to find out conditions. And the app also, as I understand it, gives information again on how to be safe and what to think about when you're snowmobiling. So it's just a great resource to have that now.
And how does one find that?
It's Maine Snowmobile Association. It's right on their website. It can be downloaded there. It can be downloaded in the App Store. So it's the Maine Snowmobile Association app, and I should just verify that to be absolutely sure so that I'm not giving bad information, but it's such a great resource.
Okay, we'll verify it during the next break. I'm going to go to an email here. This is from Gifford. Gifford writes, "I'm not a snowmobiler, but I think it looks like fun. Are there any commercially available electric snowmobiles? That is what's holding me back." Carol Ann, have you seen electric snowmobiles on the
Ooh.
trails?
That's a good question. I believe there are some in production. I have not seen any on the trails, but I have heard of some that maybe might
Well,
be
our
available
producer,
for
Jonathan
sale.
Smith, has been doing research for you, Gifford.
Oh, good.
2026 Ski-Doo, a Grand Touring and Expedition, has a new electric snowmobile. There's an article in Gear Junkie magazine with 10 electric snow machines. So those aren't all snowmobiles. There's some other things as well. But so yes, but you're right. It seems like we're right on the verge of having a whole class of electric snowmobiles. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because the kind of people who love the outdoors in Maine are the kind of people who don't want to be polluting.
Absolutely. And I know, the shift from two cylinder to not two cylinder, but to four stroke, from two stroke to four stroke was a big technological advance in snowmobiling. And it's great. Thank you, Jonathan, for the info on the electric snowmobiles. I had heard about Ski-Doo working on one, so it's great to see that there's 10.
That's wonderful. And I want to ask you about something you said. with all the new technology, and you were talking really, I think, about how fast snowmobiles can go. How fast can they go today? What are the speeds people are getting to?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, you shouldn't go above a speed that you can't manage and that isn't in the right location to have certain speeds. But I don't know what top speeds are anymore, Jennifer. I mean, I think
that's not your style, Carol Ann.
Well, unfortunately, it is my style, but I don't want to share that. No, that. But I mean, I've done snowcross, I've done radar runs all back in the day. So I think the interesting part is watching, you know, anyone that's really interested in sort of seeing speed and drivers that are really well trained on snowmobiles is to watch a snowcross race or go to one of the races that occur across the state, because those guys, you know, those men and women have spent a lot of time learning how to ride and control that snowmobile under really fast conditions. So that's the place to find out how fast they can go. Radar runs are a great thing to go to as well, because that's where you're really, really testing the limits of the snowmobile.
Well, joining us now is Al Sweat, who is Director of Operations for the Maine Snowmobile Association. Al, thanks so much for calling in. And just a little bit ago, Carol Ann and I were talking about the app. What would you tell people about what they can find on your app and how to access it?
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah, our app is msa@mainsnow.com. Yeah, it's really a good app. We have many maps available throughout the club, throughout the state, where the clubs have really hooked on to that. So they can get on their telephones and their GPSs and really make a good trip from the southern part of the state to the northern part of the state. Also, on our website, you can get updated trail information, all kinds of good stuff, lodging, yeah, restaurants, all that stuff. Yeah, all good stuff.
Let me ask you, I was reading an article about how it seems as though there's a little bit of a couple years ago, there seemed to be a little fall off in the number of registrations. I'm wondering if that's still a trend or if you all have seen a pickup in the number of people interested in snowmobiling in Maine.
Well, I think the pickup is coming back because the snow came early this year. But the last couple of years, yeah, it's been off just because of the global warming and all that other good stuff that they say that's happening. Yeah, we had well over 80,000 sleds registered for a few years in a row, and then it dropped down to maybe 68,000. So, yeah, that's very concerning. But with the clubs that we have and the little snow that we have had, the volunteers, they do a heck of a job making the trails the best that they can.
Yeah, this early snow this year, I'm guessing it got a lot of people replacing spark plugs and getting on the trails a little bit early.
Well, that's for sure. They did. And, you know, the jackpot of this last storm was in the Freeport-Lewiston area, and they haven't had snow down there for a long time. And they're really, those guys really got out there and made the trails awesome. But that little rain we had over the last 24 hours or whenever it was, you know, that's messed things up. But things are going to go into a deep freeze now, so we're going to have a really good base, and hopefully we get some good blizzards in the next couple of weeks to help us out and help out our vendors.
Yeah, I don't think snowmobilers were the only people disappointed by this rain overnight. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Al, I think you're going to stay with us, which I'm really happy about. Carol Ann Ouellette's going to stay with us. We're talking about snowmobiling in Maine, and we'd love to have you and our audience listening right now tell your story. Do you have something you want to share with someone? Maybe a great trail that is kind of a secret or a way of introducing kids or someone you care about to the sport. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainpublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are learning about the world of snowmobiling and ways to explore Maine's extensive trail system. Our panelist, Al Sweat, who is Director of Operations for the Maine Snowmobile Association, and Carol Ouellette, who is Director of the Maine Office of Tourism. Share your experiences or ask your question. Send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Ben, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Ben. Go ahead.
Hi, Jen. I had a question about snowmobile safety or right-of-way. There's a great trail near Jackman on Coburn Mountain, and the trail is pretty steep, and I was just curious as to who has the right-of-way when traveling on this trail. Is it the ascending rider or the descending rider that has to make way, slow down, get out of the way for the other rider coming the opposite direction?
Al Sweat, do you know the answer?
The guy coming down the hill. That's I've always been told.
Yeah, the guy coming down the hill. Is that because that person, it's a harder to maintain control?
Yes, very much. Very much so. And that is a narrow trail up through there. And when we first opened that up, it was narrower than it is today. So it was, it was quite a challenge getting up there. That's a heck of a destination point. You can see all over. On a clear day, you can see Mount Katahdin, Mount Washington, the Western Mountains. It's a spectacular trail.
Wow. Ben, thanks for calling in. Is Jackman area your favorite place to snowmobile?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I really love that old trail up at Coburn. I really appreciate all the work that goes into it. It's very hard to groom that and really appreciate it. It's an old abandoned ski area that the trail has been maintained by the local snowmobile club. So thank you very much, and thank you for the answer. Bye-bye.
Bye, Ben. Thank you. Al, where is your favorite place to go, or are you not allowed to say?
I'm not allowed to say, but I like the county.
Well, give us a top three of destinations in the county.
Okay. All right. I like the county. The border trail is spectacular. I love Jackman, Greenville area. There's a lot of well-kept secrets right here in central Maine that the trails are really awesome. Like I said, the clubs do a heck of a job making them work for everybody. And, I've got a lot of great trails. Millinocket. The list goes on and on and on.
Okay, well, Carol, you're director of the Maine Office of Tourism, so it's your job to spill the secrets. What are some underappreciated trails that you want to tell us about?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Al's laughing. Is that Al laughing at me?
Yes.
You should be, Al. Yes.
Yes, it is, by golly.
It's hard. I think, some of the places that are probably... certainly around the Forks area and crossing over into like Kingfield and Carabasset Valley. I mean, you often think Jackman Rangeley, but there's some really fun little trails kind of in through that area as well. Getting up into Millinocket, if you have a chance, it's not groomed, but you can ride the perimeter of Baxter State Park. So I think that's one. It's not a groomed trail, but it's a really interesting kind of way to go through there. I don't know, Al, I haven't ridden as much in the county as you probably have. I think sometimes the Downey Sunrise Trail might be overlooked because of snow and whether or not there's snow on there, but that's a great stretch too. But, If there's other hidden ones you can think of.
Yeah, another beautiful area.
Oh boy, Al, you're starting to break up a little bit. If you're in a building where there's a best spot, if you could walk to that would be terrific. Carol Ann, how many snowmobile trails are snowmobiling only, and how many are people sharing them with things like cross-country skiers and snowshoers?
Yeah, most of them tend to be snowmobiling only. There are crossovers where I think about like the Maine Hudson Trails area where it crosses over. You're either intersecting a snowmobile trail or you might have a short section on a snowmobile trail. I think people try and be really conscious and understanding that snowmobiles are moving at a quicker pace than a cross-country skier or a snowshoer. So I think on the primary trails it really sticks to snowmobile only, but some of the club trails and smaller trails in communities, I know I ski on a little trail that cuts down to the lake, and that's for snowmobilers too. So it's just being very careful though, because as someone on a non-motorized way to enjoy the outdoors, you just really need to understand that there are people moving quickly down that trail potentially.
All right. Al, are you with us now?
I am, by golly, right here.
You sound great. Okay, so what we one thing we haven't talked about yet is keeping warm, because we are talking about doing a sport on the in the coldest days of the year and moving with speed. What are your secrets? How do you keep yourself from freezing?
This new layer clothing they have is phenomenal. You know, base layers, mid layers, outer layers. Make sure it's waterproof, windproof. Golly, they have coats now with flotation devices in them, and you know, if you go out on the lakes and go through the ice, unfortunately, that's an unfortunate accident, but that'll keep you up. I know all the IFAW guys, most of them, the wardens, they all have those flotation coats, and a good helmet, pair of goggles if you got an open face helmet, good gloves, Gore-Tex, like I said, windproof, waterproof. I've been caught in every type of weather there is, and it pays to buy the good stuff.
All right, Carol, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Al mentioned. I mean, particularly the folks who are manufacturing snowmobile clothing specifically, it's designed for, just as you mentioned, Jennifer, being in the cold with some speed around you. So, you know, certainly to Al's point, don't scrimp, because you do want to be warm when you're out there. It's really important. It's a safety piece as well. So definitely invest in the clothing that's designed for snowmobiling.
What was I going to say? We do have an email here from someone named Coralie who says, we're all about the beauty and invigoration of being outdoors during winter in Maine, but speak to, please, the consumption of fossil fuels, the noise, and lack of physical fitness. So somebody a little bit skeptical that this is the best way to be outside in the winter. What would you say to that, Carolyn?
I would say certainly people have concerns about that, but here's some things to remember. A snowmobile can, you know, you're on a groomed trail that's designed for snowmobiling. Snowmobiling can get you into places that you couldn't get to otherwise. So it's an experience, you know, because of the distances they can cover, it's an experience you wouldn't necessarily have. We talk about some of these vistas that are remarkable. You wouldn't be getting there in the winter again without that potentially. But I do think the snowmobiling piece is a little more physical than I think people understand from an activity perspective. It can really, you're managing and moving a fairly sizable piece of equipment down a trail. So you are getting some physical activity. Many people snowshoe to a spot, or snowmobile to a spot where they snowshoe from there. So people are combining it with their other activities. So yeah, I certainly give it a try.
Al, anything to add?
Well, you know, the new snowmobiles, most now are all four strokes. They're energy efficient. They don't smoke. Compared to some of the two strokes leaned out so good, you really don't smell like you used to when we were driving the old two strokes. But yeah, the thing with snowmobiling is we have 14,000 miles, and you can get to speed things in a hurry, not to speed people up. But see, the scenic beauties of this state are just phenomenal. Grant Falls always hits me in the head when I see it. And I've seen it a million times in this area. Like I said, the Border Trail, Colbin, is some of the areas we go to are phenomenal. And it's just a great experience getting out in Mother Nature. It would be cold, but it was a good day to do it.
All right. Well, Carol Ann, we can't talk about snowmobiling in Maine without talking about the Snowdio. Am I pronouncing that right? In Rangeley?
You are.
It's coming up at the end of January. Tell us about Snowdio.
Snowdio is just a fabulous event. I mean, Rangeley's been putting it on, I can't remember for how many years. 35 plus, maybe. I don't know, Jonathan, maybe he can check my numbers on that. But again, talking about community and gathering people together, you know, it's not just for snowmobilers. There's so many activities that are part of Snowdio. And it's a fun way to enjoy winter and really celebrate what we love about winter in Maine, and just so many fun events. And it helps the towns, any town that sort of creates these winter snowmobile focused events, but it brings in people from all over. So I think the joy of that is, again, more the celebration of winter and appreciating all the beauty that it brings to Maine.
And are there other festivals, or is Snowdio the big one?
Snowdio is a big one, but there are events all across the state that are either snowmobile related. I think we talked earlier about some of the races that occur, and just winter fests in many of these small towns, again, that just winter is a big piece of their tourism economy. We often, you know, I try and get people to stop talking about off season and in season, because for some, summer isn't the in season. The winter is the in season. So I think it's just, again, a great way to bring people together.
We'll go to Valerie calling from Hancock. Hi, Valerie. Go ahead.
Hi. Listen, I'm a fan of Carl Ramsdell. He does ice skating and photography and kayaking and all this. And he carries around his neck ice picks that if he falls through, he can get out. Does snowmobilers carry anything like that?
Al, do you carry ice picks?
Yes. That's a good, yeah, you jiggled my brain a little bit. Yes, we do. Yeah, when I go on the lake, I carry those ice picks over my neck, and they'll save your life. You know,
wow.
You go through the ice, number one, you don't panic, but you're going to panic anyway. I mean, the water's cold, and ice picks.
Good Al, idea. Have you ever had to use them?
Nope.
Good.
Thank God, no.
Valerie, thanks for the tip. I'm also a fan of Carl Ramsdell's photography. If anybody's on the Maine Wildlife Facebook page, they've seen it. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Yeah. Any other safety tips for us, Al?
Be safe out there. Geez, I'm crying. You know, we had a fatality already, unfortunate, and it was a child. It was, you know, 17-year-old. The operator was just riding around a corner, and evidently they slipped off. I don't have the particulars on it, but just reading from the newspapers there that's happened. And, you know, most of our accidents always happen the first part of the season. People are rusty, you know, and they just don't know enough to slow down. Any sled hooks up so quickly, and you really got to be cautious take time. Go over your sleds. Go over your trailers. Just be safe out there.
And Al, would you say that the key to safety is maybe slowing down 10 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour?
Well, no. I'm not going to slow down that much. But most of our accidents are speed and alcohol related. Most of our fatalities, they happen at night because the people have been at a restaurant and they've had a couple cocktails, and one thing leads to another, and it's cold out, and they giddy up and go, and they think they're NASCAR race drivers, and unfortunately they're not. It's a tragedy. It breaks my heart whenever I get a call saying we lost somebody.
Well, before we go, Caroline, we just have a couple minutes left. I'm wondering, we did have the caller about the etiquette of going up or down a mountain, and I'm wondering if there are any other snowmobile etiquette tips that you'd like to share with us that perhaps not everyone knows. When you're out on the trail, you think, boy, I wish more people knew fill in the blank.
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. Again, reminder that often you're crossing private land, so, you know, just keep that in the backs of your minds. If you're going to stop or pull off, make sure you're pulling off the trail or into a place where other snowmobilers can get by you. Don't stop in the middle of the trail. That's really dangerous. And, you know, just letting people know, you know, hand signals, how many people are with you, keeping yourself safe and separated, and just being polite. I mean, think about it like you would if you're driving a vehicle.
And Al, anything to add to that?
You know, 95% of our trails are on private property, and that's a big chunk of our trail system. So you got to respect the landowners. If you see somebody out there, you think it's a landowner, or they wave to you or whatever, stop and shake their hand and thank them for letting us use their trails.
Well, thank you both for joining us for the hour. That was Al Sweat, who's Director of Operations for the Maine Snowmobile Association, and Carol Ann Ouellette, who is Director of the Maine Office of Tourism. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy, and Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Every Friday, we send out a newsletter and let you know what's coming up the rest of the week. You can subscribe to the Maine Calling newsletter, and subscribe is a loose word because it's free. You just go to our website, mainecalling.org, to sign up for the newsletter. And you can also find all sorts of past shows there. Almost 17 years or 15 years of them. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk with our colleagues. Maine Public reporters join us for a look back at the stories they covered this year and what stood out to them. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.